Bald Men on Campus, a new ESPN podcast hosted by Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. These ESPN basketball personalities give you an all-access pass inside the world of college basketball, talking to the biggest names in the sport. That's Bald Men on Campus. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome in the latest Daily Wager Extra podcast, taping this a little extra later because of the weather delay at Arrowhead, but it did not prevent the Super Bowl favorites from suffering their third loss in 5 weeks. We'll get into all of that. I am Doug Kazarian alongside Mackenzie Kramer, as I've been for a few weeks now. Mac, there's a passing of the torch, I bet, at the top of the odds board here.
Yeah, you have to think so after Buffalo's upset win. I mean, ESPN's Our Football App Power Index already had the Bills the best team, but now the odds makers are almost certainly going to back that up after tonight's blowout win. The first time Patrick Mahomes has ever lost by more than one score in the regular season.
It's crazy. I mean, it's just truly crazy. And it was tied for the lowest spread he's been in career, right? Three?
He had never been at home favored by less than three. So this is the first time he had ever been favored by less than three at home.
Oh, so close 2.5. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay. All right, so biggest takeaway is we've talked about it, I believe, either last week or I know I wrote about it. Josh Allen wins this game. Going into this game, the Bills had the third easiest schedule remaining this year, according to FPI. And again, that's with a game at Arrowhead. Super clear sailing right now. They are in the driver's seat. I would figure he's going to be among the favorites, I would say top three now for MVP. Any thoughts there?
I mean, you say top three. I think he's the favorite right now. You look
over Kyler Murray, 5-0, dynamic player, all that.
I mean, he's got better stats than Murray. I mean, we talk about Heisman moments sometimes with the Heisman Trophy. This was Josh Allen's Heisman moment to me, like winning this game on the road at Kansas City, that jump over the defender late in the game to help ice the game. Like, to me, the media narrative is all going to be about the Bills this week. So I think Josh Allen is, if he's not the favorite, he's definitely top three, but I would not be surprised if he's the favorite. So, and like you said, their schedule really easy after this. They got a Monday night game against Tennessee next week where he can have another showcase game, then a bye, and then Miami, Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Colts right after that. So,
yeah, I just wanted to give the deference to the guy who was still undefeated, though, and he was already the favorite. But to your point, I would think Allen. To me, Allen is Buffalo's a more stable team in order to get the one or the two seed, and obviously that is so significant. 11 of the last 14 MVP winners have been quarterbacks from a one or a two seed. Elsewhere in the day, a little bit of regression, if you will, favorites and overs.
Yeah, it's the first time all season favorites going to have a winning record against the spread. They're 9-6 right now with one game to go. They were 8-8 last week, but the first 3 weeks, favorites are just 18-30 against the spread. So underdogs barked early, but favorites finally starting to come around here in week five. And overs too, 9-6, including the Bills-Chiefs game going over. That was the highest total we had all year at 57, snuck over at 58. So it'll be the first time all year the majority of the games are going over the total. Still for the season, favorites are 35-44, and unders are 43-36. So if you just blind bet underdogs and unders this season, you'd still be doing well. But this would be your worst week of the year if you just did that method.
Cowboys remain the only team still undefeated. ATS, emphatic win over the Giants. They look legit. Now, obviously, New York hosting them shouldn't really change things, but 5-0 ATS, which you mentioned last week on the pod, really funny because last week they were 0-8 ATS, the last team to get a cover, and here they are. Just really impressive. It's the defense that we didn't expect. We weren't sure what to expect with Dak and company, but we knew they'd at least be good and explosive, but the defense off a terrible season last year, just like a punchline. Pretty well. And obviously Diggs, who's like 20-1, I believe, as of last weekend, Monday morning, to be defensive player of the year. I mean, I was looking for 50-1. I didn't think 20, but now, I mean, he's got, what, 7-8 interceptions? It's crazy.
Second player in Cowboys history to have an interception in each of his first five games, joining Don Bishop in 1961. So it's been a minute there.
Yeah, it's been a minute for that, over 60 years. But I will say this. Their division stinks. So if you're thinking Dak, maybe MVP buzz. I wrote about it last week. He was at minus $1.70 to be the comeback player of the year. I just don't see how he doesn't win it, right? McCaffrey's still out. Saquon got hurt. I mean, Sam Darnold's not going to win it. Just Joe Burrow could, I guess, but over the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and they're going to win the division. I mean, it's just now it's going to be like minus 250 or something, but I still think it's, if you play with credit, it might be a good thing to tie up some credit for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think Dak's got to be the favorite there. And like you mentioned, with
you said
Sam
the fade
Darnold,
an injury.
I still
you
don't
said
know
the fade
what Sam
an injury.
coming back from. What is Sam Darnold coming back from? Adam Gase?
Yeah, Adam Gase. Well, he missed some games, and he was just, you know, like being, you know, out, just cast off in the Jets, I guess it is.
That's fair.
So more of the same, what we thought. Jets stink. I don't know why we keep doing this to London, but we keep sending them terrible teams, but so be it. Saints better than Washington. No surprise there. Steelers had lost three in a row. They get the win at home. Not too surprising. I think the Broncos went off as a 1.5. Vikings and Lions, man, that was an eliminator sweat like no other. Lions were up, were down 10 with like a couple minutes to go, and somehow the Vikings botch it. Madison fumbles. Dalvin Cook was a late scratch this morning. But that was a roller coaster of a game. Another backdoor cover for Detroit.
The Lions have been a feisty team all year. I mean, you talked about the backdoor cover in week one against San Francisco. They had the game against Baltimore. I was fading the Lions both against the Ravens and the Vikings in Survivor this week. So 66-yard field goal with Justin Tucker, 54-yard field goal with Greg Joseph. Never a sweat in Survivor for both of those. Minnesota on ESPN Eliminator Challenge, they were the third most popular pick. But if you look at some of the higher stakes tournaments, like at Circa, they were 58% selected at Circa, including myself. So that would have been a huge elimination there. New England was one of the top three picks as well. They had a comeback from double digits down against Houston as well. So that was one of the bigger surprises of the day. I was on the team total under for Houston, but Davis Mills, the first quarterback to throw 300 yards and three touchdowns as a rookie against the Bill Belichick Patriots team. So that was one of the more surprising results of the game of the day to me. What did you think of the Texans Patriots?
Yeah, that was definitely surprising. So I had three entries in Circa left. Two of them I went to Vikings. The other one was Patriots. Definitely kicking myself for a small window there on everything. But, you know, I didn't watch the game. I had five TVs going, red zone on one, four other games on the other. I just couldn't watch like Houston, New England. It was terrible, like on paper. And you know, look, I saw the highlights. That's all I needed to. But I think the big thing was the fumble going into the goal line, right? That was going to be a comfortable lead for New England, or at least in the game. And then they had to come back all the way after the Harris fumble. So I was impressed that New England was able to bounce back, because Mac Jones definitely looked bad.
Yeah, but that is not a team I want to lay significant points on going forward. That is a team that if they win, it's going to be low scoring games unless they force a lot of interceptions like Zach Wilson did. The one thing I found was interesting with that game was just, you know, the coaching mismatch between Belichick and David Culley. I haven't been thrilled with all the moves Belichick's been making this year, but obviously that's a huge coaching mismatch. We saw the punt get blocked when the Texans tried to get cute. And then late in the game in that one, the Texans definitely should have let New England score so they had a chance to win. Instead, they let the Patriots get the game-winning field goal with 15 seconds left, which is a pretty nice juxtaposition with what I thought was the game of the year so far, or close to it, which the Chargers and the Browns, right, where the Browns literally dragged Austin Eckler into the end zone down the stretch so they had a chance to win late. So that I thought that was an unbelievable game, probably the game of the year, definitely the highest scoring game of the year, the Browns and the Chargers, with 89 points. Total was 47. The Chargers got that themselves. So what did you think of that game?
So I was to say, perfect segue. Speaking of letting them score, I thought it was the most arousing game for anyone with a brain and likes and embraces analytics and just everything. I even made the joke on Twitter that each coach was in their 30s. So they clearly grew up playing Madden football, and maybe that didn't teach them clock management, but at least made them comfortable with some of the decisions they were doing, whether it be going for two early or letting a team score, or just all the sort of what we all think is normal that these archaic and meathead coaches just don't do. And so it was just refreshing to see them. Now, obviously, the defenses could have played a little bit better, just giving up these huge plays. And obviously, you want to give credit to the offense, but it was pretty bad defense at times. But just in general, the advanced approach, Stefanski in general in the first half, was not settling for a field goal. Now, I had some live betting going on, and I needed the field goal, +250 on some pro. It was, you know, a headache on that front. But in general, I applauded the approach from both. And obviously, Eckler falling down, and then it was a mistake. What are you standing up for? Just go down. Like, you've already done the math that you don't need to stand. You don't need to burn a few extra seconds to get the extra runoff to, you know, figure out the game clock, whatever. Like, standing up was foolish. But credit should go to Cleveland for having the awareness to drag the running back into the end zone.
I think that game felt like what an NFL game should look like in 2021, but most of the coaches have not caught on to that. You had The Chargers go for two down 14. You had all the aggressive play calling down the stretch, going for it on fourth down. Other than that, it felt like every other Chargers game for the last 15 years. Chargers down late with the ball, trailing, major kicker issues with this guy at home missing two extra points. But the difference was they had a coach who just made optimal choice after optimal choice, and that put them in the best position to win, and they got the win.
I thought it was a little early when they were down 14 to go for two. I think you usually do that like the Eagles did it last year on Monday night when there was literally no time for any other scores. I didn't love it, but whatever, they got it. Who cares? We're splitting hairs.
Agreed.
Obviously, narrative apply in betting, and we like to apply them. What did you make of the efforts of the two teams that had coaching sort of headlines during the week for activity away from the field? One was an email from Gruden from a decade ago, but it obviously got some legs this weekend, especially the racial undertone, and then obviously we're still a week away, but that had legs with Urban Meyer and at a bar or whatever you want to call it, dancing in a stupid press conference. Just could you connect those dots? I know players denied it afterwards, especially with the Raiders, but I mean, it's hard to not connect those dots, right?
I mean, I thought the way they played today was a little bit different on both sides. The Raiders seem to come out a little bit flat, but I think part of that has to do with the team they're playing. The Bears are an under team until further notice. Like their offense has so little to offer, but their defense has actually been playing pretty well. And I thought the Raiders came out a little flat in that one, only scoring 9 points at home. Allegiant Stadium had been an over machine, 9-1 the last 2 years, but until today. But Jacksonville actually thought played pretty well. They actually outgained Tennessee in the game, but they just made some stupid mistakes and they just
around the goal line, particularly they were denied. I mean, obviously you're right. That game could have been a lot closer. The Titans were just a better team. So the books took a hit on some of these games, right? Like there was heavy, heavy money, I believe, in the 90% range at Caesars in terms of ticket count on the Jaguars. So that was a very popular public play. Packers was two, and there were some 2.5s out there and missed field goals galore. That game was hilarious, but they did win by three. Mason Crosby did eventually in overtime make a field goal. So that couldn't have gone well for the books. I would say the Bucs probably got some action. I was on the Dolphins, another best bet loser for your guy here. Cardinals was a public and sharp play. That was one of my heavy plays today too. Cowboys, I would imagine the public was on, and the public was on the Bills. Talking to a couple odds makers, they were saying for the first time probably ever, we need Mahomes.
Yeah, and now the Chiefs are 3-13 against the spread in the last 16 games, so maybe bettors are finally starting to realize, hey, we shouldn't just blind bet the Chiefs every single time, even though I still need to learn that lesson apparently based on the bet I made tonight.
Oh really? See, I think they're 3-14, to be honest. I think it was 3-13 last week. Either way, it's been a surprising run, but at least the public was on the Bills here. And I thought it was the kiss of death. We all like the Bills daily wager, and I was like, this can't be as easy as we're making it out to be. But trust your eyes. I mean, you had to trust your eyes because there's nothing that we've seen this year up until this that thinks the Chiefs defense could have done anything to stop the Bills. I was only on the team total. I just was like, they're going to have to score that much to win anywhere, cover 2.5, 3, so might as well just take the team total in case Mahomes wins a shootout. But I was impressed with the Eagles' comeback in Carolina. Probably Carolina and Denver came back to earth the last couple of weeks. We kind of now know who they are. But still, the Eagles on the road to do that with Jalen Hurts, who I don't think is very good, I was impressed. Like the Eagles, you know, welcome to the win column. That's one way to put it. But just in general, I know they got the win against Atlanta early on, but that was an impressive win for the Eagles' comeback.
Yeah, overcoming a 12-point deficit. That was another game where a block punt helped swing it. We saw that with the Patriots game. The Eagles got that one with 4 minutes left to help set up the game-winning score. So I've been on the Eagles a lot this year just because I think the Eagles are one of the harder teams to figure out this year. But in general, I think I found some value on them, especially getting it as an underdog. I'm not a big fan of Jalen Hurts either, but they've had some injury issues this year. They're starting to get a little bit healthier. Carolina, I want to see what they're like with Christian McCaffrey gives back. I know running back's
a good point.
Spread, but Carolina might be the one exception with McCaffrey, given how much he's used in the passing game. But yeah, both those teams will probably be fighting for wild card spots, though the Panthers obviously have a leg up with their record.
And if nothing else, forget the stats of McCaffrey, but it just takes pressure off other guys. They're not asked to do too much. You know, the focal point of a defense is no longer, you know, they can kind of take out a wide receiver now if McCaffrey's not there. So there's just a domino effect when you're missing a guy like McCaffrey as valuable as he is. I mentioned the Steelers, Broncos. Denver's come back to earth. Probably not the team that I thought they were. I thought they had a very dark horse chance at the Super Bowl because of their home field advantage, because of that defense. I thought Bridgewater's more than a game manager. Maybe he's not. I'm wrong there.
I mean, they've had a lot of injuries. I mean, they won the first three games and looked very well, very good against bad opponents, but they took on a bunch of injuries during those games, and I think that's starting to rear its ugly head when they start playing better teams. Not that we thought Pittsburgh was that good entering this week. I mean, there's a reason that they were getting points at home, but it's just the second time in Teddy Bridgewater's career he's failed to cover in back-to-back games in the same season. So Teddy covers, not rewarding bettors the last 2 weeks.
It's pretty crazy just given, you know, he is the all-time winningest quarterback against the spread. Your Jets still suck. That just in. Breaking news, even suck in different time zones than they're usually. So what is their deal? Like, why are they so bad? Do they just not have talent yet? They're building through the draft?
I mean, I've been defending Zach Wilson the last few weeks, even when he's been throwing interceptions, because I felt like his accuracy has been pretty good. He's made some plays and he hasn't gotten gotten a lot of help. He was terrible today. He was missing a lot of wide open throws like that. He had some plays in the field to be made and he just couldn't make them. And they don't have a running game to support him. And the defense is a bunch of no name players that have also taken out a bunch of injuries. They were overachieving the first few weeks. And today against Atlanta, even without Calvin Ridley, they just went up and down the field in the Jets in the first half. The Jets in the first quarter in the first half this year, if you go against them in the first quarter in the first half, you would not have lost a bet yet.
Really? So you've been tracking these first quarter lines?
Well, it's easy when I think they have like, I don't have it in front of me, but I know that one, I think they had 63 yards in the first quarter all year until like They had one play late in the first quarter. Like it's really, really bad.
So earlier we talked about all the game management and kind of game theory, I should say, and some of those decisions. How about your coach? At least you have a competent coach. He knows to kick the field goal with that little time left. Onside kick is necessary. You need the two scores, get the field goal. So somewhat silver lining there. At least you have a coach who's aware of that.
Yeah, he also passed up a 4th-and-5 opportunity down a couple scores in Atlanta territory in the second half. So we still have some work to do with Salah. I'm always a little worried about defensive coaches.
Right.
They'll be in spots like that. Though we saw with Brandon Staley that he's more than willing to be aggressive.
All right, a little too much Jets talk. Let's move on. Okay, so the futures market. Chiefs are going to slide. What do you do at the top here? Is it Bucks and then Bills? Like, obviously, the Ravens are in this mix, too. Don't forget about them. They lose the opener, but 3-1, and they have Monday night. They're 7-point favorites against the Colts at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bills, Bucks, and Rams are the top three teams. The Cardinals, obviously, with their record, they have to be in consideration. The Ravens, they probably need to blow out the – they probably need to win and look really good in the Colts to be in that conversation for me. Maybe the Cowboys. I don't put the Chargers in that group yet. I don't really think there's anybody else. I think that the big three right now are the Bills, the Bucks, and the Rams with an asterisk next to the Chiefs, because I don't know what to think of the Chiefs right now. We keep talking about them on the show. You talk about the defense. The one thing that the defense is obviously the most concerning thing, but they have 11 turnovers in 5 games. Like, that is not the Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, the Super Bowl hangover is real. I mean, we want to deny it. I've certainly bet into it, having the Niners the year after they went and lost, but they had injuries, and but the Chiefs, man, like, it's just not right. They could very easily miss the playoffs. Any idea what that yes-no split was at the beginning of the season?
I tried to ask right before this podcast when you brought it up, but I haven't got an answer yet. I wish I had looked that up. That was a great thought, but I'm sure we'll have that on Daily Wager this week.
Yeah, so, other things, I think, look, if it was the old playoff format and the top two seeds get a bye, I would think the Cowboys would be up there in terms of among the favorites just because their path to the playoffs with their division being worse than we thought it would be is certainly going to be favorable, although I do think their road schedule is tough. They still need to go to Minnesota. That's after the bye, and they're going to New England next week, but those games are not as difficult as we thought. They still go to Arrowhead, I believe. They've gone to the Chargers and won. So it's a tough schedule, but they're in the mix here, man. Like if they can maintain the defense, there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. It's been very impressive what they've done defensively this year, especially since putting him in a pass rushing role and they're going to get some guys back too, as the year goes on, both on offense and defense. So hopefully if they get healthy, like they have as good a chance as anybody in the NFC to challenge the Buccaneers.
Monday night thoughts, anything? I lean Ravens, but I'd rather tease it. I teased it with the Cowboys. That would be the only teaser. I would prefer to teaser, maybe open up for next weekend some legs, or just do them tomorrow and look ahead lines or whatever you want to call it, the advanced lines, early lines. But I just don't think this reunion with Frank Reich and Carson Wentz is as harmonious as many thought, glass half full thinkers thought. It just hasn't looked clean. They got the win last week, but whatever. They're still not that good.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts were a little bit impressive last week beating the Dolphins the way they did. But I mean, maybe the Dolphins are just bottom five, bottom seven team in the NFL. That's well within their range, given how they've been playing. I tend to lean toward taking the seven, but I don't think I'm going to take a side on this game. I'm usually a sucker for underdogs anyway. So, but home teams are 4-0 against the spread on Monday night this year. So recently taking the home team here in this spot, in this case, the Ravens would be a good call. Lamar Jackson, 12-8-1 against the spread when laying at least seven in his career. So.
And on Thursdays, road teams are undefeated ATS. So
yep.
Strange twist there.
And on Thursday night, the big issue, the big thing.
Ah, yes, the Bucs.
Russell Wilson's injury. The look ahead line against Pittsburgh, that was Seattle's 2.5. That's now up to Pittsburgh -4. So bookmakers looking at the difference between Russell Wilson and Geno Smith, about 6.5 points. The total also dropped 5 points there as well. So Seattle, you got to think that given that division, they're in a lot of trouble this year. It's hard. Oh, Geno looked pretty good in that game, but Seattle.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. I was saying the Bucks. I believe they're next Sunday night. My apologies on that. No, that's next Sunday night. Thursday night is the Bucks and Eagles. Okay, so the game you were talking about is a Sunday night.
Well, I was talking about Seahawks, I was talking about Seahawks, Seattle Steelers. Rams this past Thursday when he got hurt.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Good point. So just going back to the Dolphins, I don't think they're. I mean, look, they were down 7 with the ball, and then Jacoby Brissett gets hurt. Now maybe I'm just complaining because I had plus 10 and 11, but they were in that game, so to speak. But they can't hang with four quarters. So what am I talking about? They can't hang with four quarters of good teams.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with them is like they have mediocre quarterback play. They have one of the worst offensive lines in football. Their weapons offensively are banged up. They miss Parker and Fuller today. Fuller's going to miss a couple more games. So I'm not sure what they do well offensively. And their defense is fine, but it's not a difference maker to make up for what their offense is lacking. I mean, I don't think they're a bottom five team in the NFL, but I think they're probably a bottom 10 team in the NFL at this point.
For sure. That O-line is just not getting it done. I liked their game plan earlier. Just came out throwing, but then they tried to run a little bit, and then there's – you know, the Bucs did make plays. I'll give Antonio Brown, he made some plays, and then on defense, they even made some plays too. So, all right, that's enough Dolphins talk. I'm not sure many of our listeners wanted to hear that much Dolphins.
Too much Dolphins talk, too much Jets talk.
Okay, I think that does it. What do you make of the advanced line, or I guess early line, Dallas -3 at New England? I know it's McCarthy, Belichick, but still, seems a little small. A little short.
I don't think I can. I can't trust New England. Like I talked about this earlier. I can't trust them laying points as a favorite, getting only 3 as a dog. I tend to lean Dallas in that one as well, but it's always hard to go against Bill Belichick at home. So, but Dallas would be my lean in that one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, let's also remember New England had a bunch of injuries on the offensive line. We'll see what the status of those guys are next week. But this Cowboys team going into the bye, I like their kind of momentum. Their mojo. I think it could be a nice – and a lot of teams – I think like Dallas is one team that's always played better over the years, in my opinion, on the road. Like they're not reading the press clippings. They're not a lot of buzz. You know, they just get away from all the love in that Cowboys town.
Yeah, and I'm curious how the Giants are looking next week too with all their injuries. I mean, they might be missing Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay.
Oh, yeah.
They're already without Sterling Shepard. Kadarius Toney got ejected today after setting the Giants single-game rookie receiving yards record. So an interesting day for the Giants as well. They were 6.5 against the Rams next week. That might be double digits if Daniel Jones is out. And I didn't think that the difference between Daniel Jones and Mike Glennon entering the year would be that much. But Jones has kind of impressed me a little bit this year. So I'm curious what the odds makers look at the difference between those two guys.
Danny Dash, not Danny Dimes. I'm with you. No, he's been a little bit better than I thought too. How about this turd of a game we are sending to London after today? We're sending them Miami at Jacksonville.
Oh my goodness.
I
think that line is 3. Like I talked about how bad Miami was, but I can't take Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is just a team I'm not going to take until they show me some signs of life, even though they showed me a little bit of signs today. But getting only three, I gotta go Miami in that one on paper.
Yeah, 6:30 out here in the morning. Sleep, stay in bed.
Even though London is Jacksonville's home away from home, though. So it's kind of, I wonder if they have some home field advantage out there in London.
Early game I like is Cleveland -2.5 at home to Arizona. I think the Browns deliver a knockout, finally give them a loss and get back in the win column there.
I like that bounce back spot.
Early look. All right, my man. Good stuff as always. Anything we left out that's important for the people?
Yeah, I'll just give a couple quick run through some notes I couldn't get in there. So we talked about the Chiefs, obviously. They have been the Super Bowl favorites all this year and all of last year. The last time the Chiefs were not Super Bowl favorites entering a week was entering the divisional round of 2019. So January 2020, that time the Ravens were the favorites. That weekend they lost to the Titans. And ever since then, the Chiefs have been the Super Bowl favorites every time there have been odds posted. So we might see the Chiefs fall from grace there and fall from number one. That was the main other thing I wanted to bring up.
We buried the lead.
Too much Dolphins, but the Dolphins had the worst cover margin in the NFL entering this week. This week, they had the worst cover margin again this week until the Chiefs played. They have the only team in the last 5 years with a worst cover margin through five games was the 2019 Dolphins. The favorite in a Saints game won for the first time all year. So that was kind of interesting to me with beating Washington. The Chargers had gone under the total in their first four games before blowing up today with the over. And we talk about that Packers-Bengals finished with the five missed field goals in a row. The first time in NFL history we've had five missed – or sorry, in, since the merger, we have had five missed field goals in the fourth quarter in overtime. That is a game where closing line value ended up coming into play. That line opened Packers minus 3.5, and it was 3 for a while, and I closed at 2. So depending what line you got, those field goals might have made you a winner or a loser.
On that note, I want to say we buried the lead. First day since the merger, double-digit missed extra points and double-digit missed field goals. So on the heels of a memorable Saturday of college football, and they always are, but really this Saturday with Alabama losing and everything else was particularly exciting. Sunday was awesome as well, and the missed extra points. Now, obviously, with the distance going back the last handful of years, it's going to be more likely to have missed extra points than yesteryear since the merger. But still, double-digit missed field goals. So, like, yes, for every Justin Tucker 66-yard bomb, we have all these choke jobs like we had in Cincinnati. We got a kick that the kicker's celebrating like he made it, and it didn't make it. So,
yeah, I tweeted out to Nick Young.
A roller coaster day, all the things we talked about, whether it be the game theory strategy with the Chargers-Browns game and everything else, it was certainly a memorable, awesome football weekend, all while we had that craziness at Fenway with the ricochet off the thing, and it was only a ground rule double. So all that's going on during some of the late afternoon football games. It's just crazy weekend. October, everyone says, not everyone, but most say it's the best month of sports. We have five Saturdays and Sundays this year in October, so it's off to an awesome start.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to bring up, too, which I forgot to earlier, was another big week for the refs inserting themselves into games. My three favorite penalties in football, two of them had major impacts this week. We saw the roughing the passer coming to play in the Chiefs game tonight. I didn't see any major taunting penalties, but my favorite play in football, the underthrown deep ball in man coverage, helped to give Texas A&M the win over Alabama. So another big week for the refs.